This message comes from Capital One. Your business faces unique challenges and opportunities. That's why Capital One offers a comprehensive suite of financial services backed by the strength of a top 10 commercial bank. Visit CapitalOne.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Shea Stevens. The U.S. Supreme Court has declined to block a Texas law that allows local police to arrest people who they suspect are in the U.S. illegally. The justices have returned the case to an appeals court, as Texas Public Radio's Gage Dombila reports.
The law can now be enforced, but the legal fight is far from over. Priscilla Orta, an attorney representing asylum seekers in Brownsville for Lawyers for Good Government, says it could take years for challenges to the law to play out, despite the Supreme Court asking for a prompt ruling.
And they say prompt, but that doesn't have a legal definition. And these cases just take forever. It's just what it is. That's why the injunction was so important, so that we could maintain the status quo while they figure out if this is legal.
In a statement, the groups who sued Texas said they will continue challenging the law. For NPR News, I'm Gage Dávila in McAllen, Texas.
President Biden and former President Trump racked up more victories Tuesday in primaries held in Kansas, Florida, Ohio, Arizona, and Illinois. Biden won contests in all but Florida, where Democrats did not vote Tuesday because the party submitted just one name. Trump won primaries in all five states. Meanwhile, candidates endorsed by Trump won high-profile races in Ohio to face incumbent Democrats in November. President Biden is continuing his campaign swing through key Western states. Biden is promoting his domestic policies, especially those geared toward the low income and working class. In Las Vegas Tuesday, the president condemned his predecessor's comments about Jews who've criticized the war in Gaza.
I never heard a president say the things that this guy has said. But the difference is he means them. He means what he says.
Biden also told his audience at a community center that he wants to offer incentives to help home buyers acquire and keep their properties. He noted that his administration has pushed for fairness in home valuations, citing a history of discrimination based on zip code. Republicans and Democrats in the U.S. House are blaming each other for the chaotic U.S. military withdrawal from Afghanistan and the Taliban's return to power. NPR's Greg Myrie reports on testimony from two former generals.
House Republicans say President Biden deserves full blame for the messy U.S. pullout from Afghanistan in the summer of 2021. But Democrats stress that a year earlier, in 2020, then-President Trump made the deal with the Taliban that called for such a withdrawal. Retired generals Mark Milley and Frank McKenzie told the House Foreign Affairs Committee they recommended to both presidents that the U.S. keep a small troop presence in Afghanistan, but were overruled. McKenzie says the Taliban now host extremist groups that would like to hit U.S. targets.
They themselves don't have a desire to attack us in our homeland, but they do harbor entities and organizations that do have a desire to do that.
Greg Myrie, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR. Former U.S. Trade Advisor Peter Navarro has reported to a federal prison in Florida. The former Trump administration official faces 4 months at a low security facility for contempt of Congress. He refused to answer a subpoena linked to a congressional investigation into the January 6th Capitol insurrection. Consumer goods giant Unilever says it's cutting 7,500 jobs, or 5% of its workforce. The Britain-based company has also announced plans to spin off its ice cream business, which includes Ben & Jerry's, in order to cut costs. News of the cuts sent Unilever shares up 3% in London on Monday. The author of world-renowned graphic novel Persepolis, about a young girl's coming of age during the Islamic Revolution in Iran, has published another work. From Paris, NPR's Eleanor Beardsley has more.
20 years after Persepolis, French-Iranian author and illustrator Majan Satrapi thought she'd set aside graphic novels. Then 22-year-old Mahsa Amini died at the hands of Iran's morality police for not wearing her headscarf properly. And young Iranians took to the streets in fury.
When I saw that, you know, the girls, they came out yelling, "Woman, life, freedom," and the boys, the men, they were just behind them, this is a huge cultural change.
She says this is a real revolution. She hopes her new book, written with historians, journalists, and other artists, will draw people in using the first language of humans, drawing. Woman, Life, Freedom is out in English this month. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Paris.
U.S. futures are lower in after-hours trading on Wall Street following Tuesday's gains. I'm Shay Stevens. This is NPR News.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Viore, a new perspective on performance apparel. Clothing designed with premium fabrics, built to move in, styled for life. For 20% off your first purchase, go to viore.com/NPR.